Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, let me tell you about this film that's in cinemas. It's about the music of the great Neil Diamond, which has stirring reviews everywhere. It's Song Sung Blue, starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. The twist here is that it's the story of a tribute act, not the man himself, but it's got the official blessing of Neil Diamond, who permitted the use of his music for the film, which is a nice way to do things. It's a true story of a Milwaukee married couple in America as they rise to fame with this real-life band. They call themselves Lightning and Thunder. It's very charming, very moving, of course, to all the reviews. Here's the bit to give you a flavour where Hugh Jackman's character, he's basically being convinced by his wife, Kate Hudson, of who he should play on stage.
Hey, what do you think?
It's good.
Right?
We just got to work your hair a little differently, and I got a guy for that.
All right. Oh, and look at these outfits. Come on. Look at that. It's like shimmering, you know?
You know, my hair guy does clothes too.
Oh, you know, Neil is special, and I just want everyone to get that feeling I get when I listen to America and Forever Blue Jeans.
Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline, yeah, but I'm never going to be the real McCoy. I mean, I don't really look like Neil. I don't even really sound like Neil. And I got to be Neil, but I just got to be me, too.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Neil Diamond impersonator. You want to be a Neil Diamond interpreter.
I was looking for the right way to say it, and you just came right out and said, Neil Diamond interpreter.
Song Sung Blue, that's it. It's a unique biographical movie and focuses on the tribute performers. Well, one of Ireland's best known Neil Diamond interpreters is James Sexson from Shannon. He's in our Limerick studio. Good afternoon, James.
Hi, Oliver. How are you?
How are you doing? You've gone to see the film.
I did. I went to see it last week with my wife.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was interesting. The bizarre thing is, if it was a story about Neil Diamond, I probably wouldn't have gone as quick. I'd have definitely gone to see it.
Yeah.
But when I heard it was about a tribute act, I said, oh, hold on. This is right down my alley now. So really enjoyed it, I have to say. And she did too, Frances. We really enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
The reviews are really so warm and glowing, and
yeah,
it's very moving. It's a mad story, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's interesting from your perspective, both of you are in the entertainment industry, yourself and Frances,
yeah,
and your children as well.
Yeah, we're all in the entertainment industry. So I own a company called Hiya.ie. Hiya.ie is my website, and we're corporate entertainment specialists, but
yeah,
we've worked in entertainment all our lives. But the main business is events for companies, conference, team building, all that. But down through the years, I've managed bands, I've come across every type of act in the industry that we've used on different events. But at one stage, I was under pressure to fill a 20-minute slot on a particular event,
yeah,
and it was all tribute acts. So I decided to get myself the big wig and the shiny jacket, and away I went. I kind of knew I sounded a bit like him, and I knew I could pull it off, you know. And I did, and it went down really well. And I said, gee, this is good fun. And I do it for the fun. I really do. I don't do as much of it now, but we've done a few festivals with the big live band and the backing vocalists, and there's times I'm singing out front and I have this array of amazing musicians behind me and I'm going, how did this happen? It's really weird because I'm not an amazing singer. I just happen to sound like him. And as I get a bit older, I don't need to do as much with the costumes because I'm starting to kind of look a bit older as well. So,
handier.
Yeah, so it's great. I just enjoy the fun of the whole thing. I don't do it as much as I'd like to be honest.
So you're an accidental tribute act.
Accidental tribute act.
The band was called Jukebox Heroes, so you must have been doing other acts as well.
Yeah, we had a Meatloaf tribute. We'd Cher, we'd Bono, we'd loads of different ones. And it was like a Christmas show. We used to do it down in Bunratty in the Shannon and Shamrock, which was just an amazing venue in the day. And we'd ABBA. We'd loads. It was kind of 10 to 12 minutes of each tribute. It was a fast-moving show.
Yeah.
We used to do 8 or 10 nights down there.
Great.
And sell out 800,000 people. It was just an amazing venue in the conference centre there. And that's where I slotted in Neil. As a friend of mine says, nearly Diamond. And I did a slot and I just loved it. And the songs are so good. And I do like his music. And I've been to see his show in Broadway. That's not there anymore, actually. It got good reviews, but it wasn't amazing. But
he turned up to it himself once.
He does. Yeah. I saw, that was amazing. I mean, he's an incredible person. and I love his music, and so it's nice to be able to do it. I think if it was, if I sounded like anyone else, I may not have followed up on it, but it was just the way it worked out, because I do like his songs.
When you're performing as him, and it's a tribute show, are there kind of just a handful of songs that work with the with the huge crowd? He's a deep repertoire, though, doesn't he?
You're right. What it's not ideal for is a dancing crowd.
Right.
There's a good maybe 25 minutes of dancing floor full. You do the Forever in Blue Jeans, Sweet Caroline's, Cracklin' Rosie, Red Red Wine, and the floor is full. But then you're going into the catalogue of the I Am, I Said, Hello Again, Love on the Rocks. But for a sit-down show, it's amazing. And then get them swaying in the seats. You know, So I'm looking at doing more of that now in the new year. I had kind of parked it for a while because I'm busy with other projects. But after the movie, I said, you know something? I need to be back on the road with this. So I'm definitely going to do it a few times during the year. Mm. Yeah, for the fun.
Sweet Caroline is the perennial.
It is.
Across every generation, everyone who gets to know it, they know exactly what to do the whole way. It's as big as Happy Birthday, isn't it? It's an unbelievable song.
Incredible. And it doesn't matter where you are. I mean, I remember the first night of the smoking ban in Ireland. I always remember I ended up doing that. I got this booking for a dinner dance. And when I got to it, I realised it was an all-male rugby club dinner dance. It was the weirdest thing. So there I am up on the stage in a shiny shirt and all these big rugby players looking up at me and I'm going, oh my gosh.
Who booked me?
Talk about the wrong venue for the wrong act. And the smoking ban came in that exact night.
Oh, wow.
So they were all outside smoking. And even if they weren't, they're going out to see what the fun was outside. And there I am on the stage singing away. The only time I got them moving some bit was Sweet Caroline. So I said, I don't think I'll get that booking next year. Never again heard from them. But that was hilarious.
Because just even the start of lockdown, when people talk about washing your hands and the need, it was hands touching hands.
That's
all
right.
Of that.
Yeah.
It means every generation is into it. In the film, they focus quite a lot, don't they, on the more secondary songs?
They do. And that's what I liked about it. And to be honest, some of those songs I don't even know that well. And the reason is I didn't really learn them for this set because I kind of knew that people wouldn't, you know, dance them or sing along to them as much. But it's great. I love those songs. And, there's friends of mine that are into Neil Diamond and they love those songs. And I really appreciate those songs. Hard songs to sing now.
Are they?
Some of them are hard to sing. I have a bit of a head cold at the moment, but the worse the head cold gets, the more I sound like him. It's great.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed. Yeah. What's kind of the hardest one then that you sort of have to psych yourself up for?
Well, you know, some of them, I mean, I'm a Believer is a big song, you know, but I love the ones, I love the slow ones. I love the I Am, I Said. I love Hello Again. Love on the Rocks takes work. You know, you got to get right up there. But I won't sing a song unless I can nail it. You know, I like to. I'd be very particular in things. And if I don't nail it, I won't sing it. And I won't risk it. Because at some of the Neil Diamond gigs, you're going to get some people who are really, really into him. Some people are there and they're just, they could be at any party.
Yeah.
But some people, when I used to do a regular events, an evening with Neil Diamond, and you'd have real Neil Diamond fans, people coming up afterwards telling you stories of how they listen to these songs at home with their parents.
Yeah.
There's different, I mean, I know Ambrose O'Shea, who's an amazing man. Ambrose is from Dublin. He's probably Ireland's, if not one of the world's biggest Neil Diamond fans.
He's the super fan.
Oh, he's amazing. And Ambrose came down to watch me one night at an event and it was almost like I was getting the Neil Diamond driver's singing licence because Ambrose went through every song, the set list, what way I positioned the songs, and you'd listen to Ambrose. He's been to all the concerts and he's such a lovely, lovely man. And when Ambrose kind of said to me, James, you're good at this, I said, away I go now.
That's all you needed.
He's lovely, man, yeah.
And you did a lot of shows, 25 years of it. You used to go to the Regency Hotel in Dublin every Christmas.
I did the Regency for 2 years. I did the Shelburne, myself and a friend of mine called Gary Deeg. And again, because there's only half a good dancing set in the Neil Diamond, he did Michael Bublé, so we mixed it up. We did the Shelburne for a couple of years. And I did the Shannon Shamrock. But I've been very lucky. I've sang in New York, I've sang it in Australia. Yeah, it's just, It's funny, you know. I did a wedding in New York. A good friend of mine, Louise Power, she brought me over, and I sang, and all the Americans saw this Irish fella dressed up as Neil Diamond. You know, it was great,
shimmering.
But what's funny is, when you're doing a proper show where the people are big Neil Diamond fans, I think this is with any tribute. Once you start, I often start with I Am, I Said. Now, Ambrose will often say to me, maybe not the song to start with, but I like
you
it.
You defy even
yeah,
him.
Do I do. But when you sing, when you first of all sing the first lyric, it's very funny when you're doing tribute. People are looking at you. And when you sing that first line, you see them looking at each other and going,
right.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
He's okay. They wait for that first line because they're into it. And if you sound like him on the first line, they're kind of, okay. And if you don't, you know, they wouldn't be too long
why
letting you,
you
know.
You pick the song, yeah, regardless of what it means to the Neil Diamond universe. There was a gig in Bunratty where someone close to Neil Diamond came up
to you. Yeah, I mean, that was very funny. Noel, that owns the Bunratty Manor below, Noel had this group in one night. It was actually a booking that came through my own company. It was an American group, a company that customers over, and they'd done the Bunratty banquet, they'd done all the Irishy stuff, and they wanted something. And Noel Wallace Blow and Bunratty Manor had them in for dinner. So I said to them, would we do an evening with Neil Diamond? And they went, yeah, that could work. So I did. Mm-hmm. So I go in, they have dinner, and I do all the nice slow stuff. Towards the end of dinner, we ramp it up a little bit, and it's just me. And there was one guy videoing me, kind of up close. When I was singing, he was up with the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was out on the phone, and he'd back up with the camera, and he was watching, and he was laughing. And I said, what's this guy doing? Yeah. So anyway, I finished, and I went in behind to change. And so he follows me in anyway, and he goes, I'm really sorry. So I hope you don't mind. I was in your space. So I said, no problem at all. I'm like Neil Diamond's best friend. I said, no, yeah, this is so funny. I was actually trying to phone him while you were singing. He said, I was ringing and he wasn't answering. So I called his daughter, Ellen. I said, Ellen, get your dad to call me straight away. There's this guy in Ireland. He sounds just like him. So he said, I couldn't get him to ring back. But that was fine. So he gave me his email and then he started showing me pictures of, he said, in case you think I'm some form of freak, he said, this is myself and Neil. And then on the Tuesday or Wednesday, he was back in the States. And that weekend, he had been at Neil Diamond's granddaughter's, I think it is, christening.
Right.
Or birthday. And he sent me pictures and he says, here's me and Neil.
That
he said to say hello. He said, you're good. I
wow.
said, that's fine.
He saw the clips.
He didn't say I was amazing. He said I was good. So I said,
because
that's okay. It was funny, though.
Might have funny kind of views on their
well,
tribute
this
act,
is it,
they?
You
yeah,
see.
You wouldn't know.
This is it.
But
and
he must like them because he's obviously given this blessing to this
he
film.
He has.
And that's a smart way to do the story, isn't it? To use the music in the film.
I thought it was incredible. Yeah. And, you know, when I watched the movie, Oliver, I went home. And I was enthralled by this story, and they were saying it was a true story. And I actually went on YouTube and I found a documentary about lightning and thunder, and I watched it. And it's the real story.
Wow.
And I won't give it away, but some things that happen in it, it's amazing. And it's amazing how, one thing I picked up from it, how vulnerable
yeah.
entertainers are. You know, I mean, and people, self-employed people, you know, people that work for themselves. You know, one incident, and you'll see what happens, I won't give away the movie, happens, and things change. Your life goes
right.
in a different direction.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading Peter Bradshaw's review in The Guardian. He just says he was gripping his seat, wondering
yeah.
what was going to happen next.
That's it.
Incredible.
And that's why I went back to see, was this actually real?
Wow.
And it was.
Okay. And you've given us a great review. And there's other things I want to ask you as
yeah.
well, James Sexton, but I want to go to someone else at the moment because Mary Byrne opened for Neil Diamond when he played
yeah.
in the Aviva Stadium, Lansdowne Road. That was 2011. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Oliver. How are you?
Not so bad at all. 2011, what was happening in your life? How did it all come about?
Oh, my God, it was incredible because I was doing the X Factor tour
yeah.
In the early months and myself and Niall were outside one of the buildings we were leaving.
That's Niall
and
Horan.
And a phone call came through. Niall Horan, yeah.
Yeah.
And a phone call came through to me to ask me would I be interested in opening for Neil Diamond. And I remember looking at Niall and telling him and his little face kind of just went white and he said, oh my God, we'll never get to do anything like that, which he was totally wrong. But it was the excitement in both of us. that kind of, you know, it stays with me to this day. I can see his little face looking at me. Remember, he was only 16 and he knew Neil Diamond and he knew how Neil Diamond was. Yeah. And now here's this 50-year-old Elwyn from Ballyfermot getting the opportunity to open for him in the Aviva Stadium, which is just incredible.
And when you were a young little one in Ballyfermot, what did Neil Diamond mean to you?
Everything. I mean, I have all his albums. I have his DVD. I mean, I loved the jazz singer. I watch it all the time. Even now, I would watch it because it still stands the test of time because of the man who wrote the songs and who sings them. And for me, I could never get to see him because I never had the money. And then when I had my daughter, money was even shorter again. And he came here and he was in England at some stage and all my friends were able to go over. I couldn't go.
You couldn't afford the tickets.
I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it. So here I was now at 50 and my daughter's at home, a grown lady. And I'm now getting the opportunity to stand on the same stage that this wonderful man is going to be standing on.
That has to be a career highlight, especially so early on.
Out of all of the X Factor, listen, I enjoyed every moment of it, but out of all of it, that was the biggest dream that I never had because I never really believed that it would come true. And I walked on that stage and I sang my songs and then I went backstage and, as you know, we were told not to go near him. He was resting. He was doing this. And I mean, I wouldn't interfere with anybody, in particular an artist, because I know you need your time to yourself before you go on stage. But a knock came to my door. I was in the dressing room with my daughter and the guy who was doing my makeup and hair. And this camera is in my face. And I said, hello. And he said, just pointed. And next of all, this man walked in with a cap on his head. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my God. And he just went, hello, Mary, and gave me the biggest hug anyone had ever given me in my life. It was an incredible moment, an incredible moment.
Go away, Neil Diamond. And you never hear of the support act even meeting the main act.
This is what I'm saying. When he came into me, I was not expecting it whatsoever. And the fact that he turned to my daughter while he was hugging me and told my daughter to support me in everything, that he had read my story, heard my story, and he said, I'm dying to see you. And he was at the side of the stage.
Brilliant.
While I was singing, not through the whole thing, but he was there. Because I remember when I went to sing a song, I looked to the left of me and I seen him standing there with two guys and I went, oh my God.
That was terrifying.
Neil Diamond was watching me singing. It was the most nervous thing I ever had in my life. But then afterwards, he told me, he actually said to me, you know, I really enjoyed your set. I know you were nervous, but by God, can you sing a tune, girl? That's all he said to me.
What other compliments do you want in your life, Mary?
I don't need another compliment. And I didn't. The hug that he gave me stays with me to this day. And I haven't seen the movie yet, but I am going to see it.
You'll have
to
see that.
And I swear to God, I just love Neil Diamond's music and I love the man himself.
And you're still at it, Mary. Have you got a busy year ahead?
I have a busy year. We are actually doing an album of all original songs. Oh. It's a collaboration of four women. Yeah. And we're hoping to have it out during the summer. It's all original songs. I'm always singing all the, you know, tribute songs and the whole lot.
Yep.
But I'm really excited about this. So I just hope it goes well and we can all get together and listen to this album and hopefully do a tour with it as well.
Oh, we'll have to chat again.
Yes, Oliver, definitely. And I love you lots and I love your show.
Thanks so much, Mary Byrne. Brilliant stories.
Not at all,
delighted to talk to you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Have a lovely day. James Sexton, you have another life, don't you? Because your name appears in the credits on Ireland's Fittest Family.
Yeah.
You're one of the creators.
That's right. Yeah. So it's 13 seasons now. So I often look at it and sit down and kind of go, it's hard to believe I created this in my office in Shannon. And to look at where it is now, I mean, it's just such a great show. I mean,
bigger than ever.
Yeah, Kite and Animo do a great job. The people that work in it, the families, the people that watch it. It's just, it's an amazing show, you know. And I always say, you know, I do some talks at schools and that. And I also say, I always say to people, you know, dreams can come true. You know, you write something on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. I dabble in formats a long time and pitch them here, there and everywhere. And, you know, if one bites, bang, away it goes. It's been an incredible story. And
very few formats that come about in Ireland make it abroad. This one is one of them.
Very few. This one has. I mean, we're in six or seven territories, but we still haven't broke the big ones, the UK and the US. And
yeah. You get a big production fee there. That's what you want, James.
Yeah, there's interesting stuff happening at the moment. Never know. This year could be... I have a feeling this could be a very good year for it. But it's been great.
Where else are these fittest families taking place? What other countries?
So we've been in Sweden, we've been in Germany, Croatia. Gosh, you have me there. But there's six others.
Germany is a huge market.
Yeah, Germany was a huge market. So, we've been lucky with it. And then I suppose, like everything, COVID put a bit of a slowdown on it. And, you know, it's no more than entertainment. It's all about luck. You know, I was lucky to get it as far as I got it. It's a good format, but things happen. I mean, I've had other formats and you go nowhere with them. I had another thing that nearly was a huge break for me in the UK. COVID came and that put an end to that. So you need a little bit of luck.
Right.
And I think it deserves a bit of luck in the UK and the US because we think
campaign.
The same, you know, and... I think they're missing out on something.
It'd be a great show.
Yeah, I think when it happens, it will happen. And I think when it does, they're going to go, why did it take us 13 years? And I really believe that. I think they're going to say, why did it take us 13 years to do this? You know,
you're a jurist. You sit on the jury for the International Emmys.
I am. So
job.
That happened by a pure accident. If you're putting yourself out there, I got a contact one time on LinkedIn by this lady who lives in the Ukraine, she's into television. She said, you know, do you go to International Emmys? She said, I said, I don't. She said, I want to invite you to a meeting. So I go to this random meeting in London.
Yeah.
And it's where the directors can bring a friend with them to the meeting. So I go to an event. I'm not meant to be at the board meeting. I'm meant to be at a lunch. But her English wasn't great, so I didn't understand. So I end up in a board meeting, which I shouldn't have been at. And halfway through it, it's kind of highlighted, James, what are you doing here? And I kind of thought I shouldn't be here. And they said, yeah, this is just for the members, you know, the board members. Oh, I said, I'll go. So it's good. Long story short, there was this big debate. James should stay. James should go. You're embarrassing him. I said, I'm not embarrassed. I'll go. So they said to me, stay, but don't say a word. What you hear? So a couple of weeks later, they wrote to me and they said, we'd love to have you on board. And since then, I've been a member, I've been a juror. So I go to New York every November, and then there's a board meeting in some unusual location every year.
Big dues all
the
time.
It's great.
That sounds amazing.
It's just lovely, and I've met the nicest people at it, and I've had great fun, great experiences. But again, it's all entertainment linked, and, you know, again, put yourself out there, have a little go. And things can happen. You know, I'm a great believer in that. So, and I don't take things too seriously.
You're a force of positivity. Yeah, you don't.
I'd like to think
it's been a pleasure. James Sexton.
Thanks, Oliver.
MD of Hiya Entertainment, hiya.ie for more information. Song Sung Blue is in cinemas now. Pleasure talking to you, James.
Thanks very much.
See you. Talk to you again.
See you soon.
I've got some lovely stories coming in the messages. I went to see Neil Diamond for my first time in Croke Park. Spent the night outside HMV in 2 Fife banana boxes to get tickets for it. This is going back a bit. Always wanted to lock his main female backing singer, Linda Press, into the loo so that I could sing You Don't Bring Me Flowers instead of her, and went to all his Irish concerts but never managed to do the job, to lock her in the toilet. Love his unique voice. That's from Jenny in Santry. Neil Diamond's favourite New York restaurant is Rosie O'Grady's, I presume, is on 7th Avenue, Times Square, genially hosted by Leitrimann and GAA Hall of Famer Mike Carty. And that's from Seamus in Killarney, who knows things about Leitrim, that surprised you. Neil Diamond's so good, my sister introduced me to him. My sister introduced me to him. Went to see him in 2012. Oh, yes, to his music. And he was amazing, crackling. I thought we were on to a winner there. Crackling Rosie is a floor filler at many of the wedding years ago. All Neil Diamond will fill the floor of any weddings. We'll let it go with James Sexton's favourite song to sing, a little sample of it, to bring us into the break.